Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings, it's a fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got his throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's breaking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Then Gretzky in. 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way. Here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco. 15 feet, 4 inches. Stanley Cup. President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody from the Superstore, glad to have you on board. You know, I had to laugh. If I hear one more person complain about the heat today, I'm going to lose it. It's summertime. It's June. I was in my car. It was 88 degrees, a little warm, a little toasty. Summertime, by the way, everybody. We only got 2 or 3 days of this. You can handle that. So just, you know, think back to December and January a little bit when everybody was going, man, I wish it would warm up. I can't wait for summer. Summer is here. A lot of great deals going on at the Superstore as well. Again, here at the Superstore, everybody thinking of the family, of the Mahalik family, of course, with the passing of Ralph Sr. last week. So some heavy hearts around here, but a job well done, again, by Ralph Sr. Tigers yesterday in our Detroit Tiger report. The Tigers get a three-run home run from Justin Upton. Tigers still 2 games below 500. Everybody talking about that looming Major League trade deadline date. That is on July the 31st. Tigers are going to be, I'm going to guess, sellers, but we'll wait and see how that pans out. Might get something going here. 6-game homestand starts tomorrow night against Arizona. Again, Tigers 3.5 back, 30-32. Off night tonight, back at it tomorrow. Big hit yesterday was Justin Upton at Fenway.
Swing and a fly ball down the right field line. Well struck. That one's got a chance, and it hits the pole. It's a grand slam. Upton off the pesky pole in right field. He touches them all, and the Tigers add 4, and it is now 7-2. Upton hits his 13th.
Same situation for the Tigers. Could have been better in Boston. No bullpen. We see it, probably about once a week. So, you know, my estimation right now, they've probably given away, I'm going to say, 3-4 games probably this year. You know, probably should be 2-3 games over 500. And in that Central Division, that would put them right up near the top. But you can't win at the Major League level in this day and age when pitchers, quality starts, you know, they're expected to go 5, 6, 7 innings. And you know, rely on somebody else. They just don't have anybody back there that's reliable. And you can't, use Justin Wilson on a nightly basis. And he hasn't been. He's been okay, but he hasn't been great. He's not one of the shutdown guys that the Tigers face all the time. Getting Tigers off until tomorrow. That is your Reeb Funeral Home Detroit Tiger Report. Major League Baseball draft tonight. That'll be some interesting viewing. Also this week, we'll have a couple of golf guests as well. I'm guessing Pat Lindsay, the U.S. Open, is over at Erin Hills in Wisconsin. Was watching the Golf Channel early this morning. That's going to be quite a venue. That, of course, gets underway Thursday, so the second major of the year right around the corner. The two other sports that are, well, we're in full force. Last night, the Stanley Cup, of course. Pittsburgh Penguins have won 2 consecutive Stanley Cups. So they win it 2-0. Bad luck for Nashville last night. Nashville, I thought, was a better team. I got to tell you something. Everybody knows about my hockey background. It's been almost 40 years. But the way the game has changed with not a lot of scoring off the wing and the tic-tac-toe type passes, that's why I've always been a proponent of maybe going to the Olympic size ice. Hockey right now at times to me is just such a luck of the bounce, you know, of a slap shot or a wrist shot from the point, you know, hitting off somebody's leg, deflecting to another guy and bangs at home. The goaltender's now in that butterfly situation, not a lot of net to shoot at. So, I mean, it just really, luck pays a major part in the National Hockey League right now at any level, really. It's just the game really has changed. The size and the speed, the deflections, how hard they shoot the puck, where it's going, who it deflects off. You don't see the tic-tac-toe drop passes like you used to in the 70s. Two's great for Pittsburgh. Speaking of the 70s, of course, the great teams of Edmonton in the 80s and the Montreal Canadiens, the Edmonton Oilers, the New York Islanders, all those teams, you know, stringing together multiple, multiple Stanley Cups. So we'll be talking to Glenn Chico Resch. He is coming up tonight on this show around 5:35. 5:35 tonight, Glenn Chico Resch, a former National Hockey League goaltender, former National Hockey League television analyst. We will break down the Pittsburgh Penguins' win last night, clinching the Stanley Cup. 5:15, Kyle Rowland for the Blade. He's been covering, again, Golden State and the Cavs. And, of course, game the number 5 tonight. I got to tell you, if Cleveland can go in there and win that game tonight, you're probably looking at a game 7. 8.5-point favorite tonight, Golden State. Back to the hockey. Again, Mike Emmerich last night. Here's the call. Penguins, again, win their second consecutive Stanley Cup.
The final seconds go off. And now the fans here salute their team with Let's Go Predators. A turnaround shot that rattled wide. Subban, one more try, deflected over the net, and the Pittsburgh Penguins again are the Stanley Cup champions.
Well, you heard the boo birds in the background, of course, for the what a great market that Nashville is. We're going to be talking to Glenn Chico Resch about that and other National Hockey League topics. Here's Sid the Kid. Of course, what many feel, the best player in the National Hockey League in this era. Again, talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins and their second straight Stanley Cup.
You know, we have a group of different guys that step up and understand certain situations and when you really need to turn up your game. And I thought the way that we were able to get better with every series, that was a big thing for us. And we're able to continue to get better. And I think that, helped us, you know, going deep into series.
Well, the great Mario Lemieux, the owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And everybody remembers when this was a Pittsburgh Penguin organization that was on the brink of bankruptcy numerous times. And Mario Lemieux deferring some of his salary at one time to get a partial ownership of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He is now the majority owner. Best sport coat, by the way, in Nashville last night to Mario Lemieux. Here's the owner of the Penguins, the Hall of Fame center iceman, 66, Mario Lemieux.
It's been amazing. Amazing playoffs to be able to do it again this year. With all the injuries that we had, losing Letang late in the season and Murray early in the playoffs. You know, when you have Sidney Crosby on your team, great leader, winning the second Conn Smythe and third Stanley Cup. What a great leader he's been for us. And then he's the main reason why we went back-to-back.
Mario Lemieux, owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Hats off to the Penguins. Golden State, Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Hens are home. Tigers are off. U.S. Open week, by the way. Jim, what do we got tonight? Pregame show for Game 5 out at the Oracle.
That'll be 8 o'clock right here on the ticket. Then the 9 o'clock tip-off time. We'll have all the coverage of it for you right here beginning at 8.
Good stuff. Basketball talk with Kyle Rowland after this. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, where the June Jamboree sales event continues. Back with Kyle Rowland after this.
Sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Still in our thoughts, the Mahalik family today, of course. Ralph Sr. passing away last week, so a lot of friends and family in the showroom tonight. Again, a guy that started this dealership over 50 years ago. Coming up at 5:35 tonight, former National Hockey League goaltender Glenn Chico Rush. He's a former NHL television analyst as well. We'll put a bow on the National Hockey League season. Draft coming up, by the way, in the NHL. Could be interesting this year with the expansion draft. But joining us now on the Vito's Pizza phone line, Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations, Vito's.com. Visit it today, the 2016 Pizza Palooza Award winner. Well, he's covered the Cavs and the Golden State, among other things, this year, and had him on quite a bit over the last couple of days. We appreciate him taking the time, but he's been our go-to guy in this series between Golden State and the Cavaliers. Toledo Blade Sports writer Kyle Rowland. Kyle, as always, thanks for taking the time.
Always a pleasure. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you? First things first, the Cavs win tonight. Are we playing seven games?
I think so. But first, the Cavs have to win tonight, which I don't think is going to happen. But certainly, things got a little interesting. I mean, it's remarkable in a 3-1 series, one that the first three games were just great performances by Golden State. They dominate the first two games, but it just took that one win for everyone to kind of get excited about what's going on and, you know, talk about the what ifs. But I mean, the Cavs obviously have such a formidable roster. Last year happened, which obviously kind of stokes everything. But it should be a pretty interesting game tonight. And if Cleveland does win, I mean, the pressure on Golden State will just be immense. I mean, I can't imagine what that flight would be like from California to Ohio later this week.
No doubt about that. You are absolutely right. Things would get a little tight for Golden State, who, by the way, are 8.5-point favorites going into that game tonight. If Cleveland wins, I guess the only way I see this happening, Kyle, would be Kyrie Irving past the three-point line and the other places that he's affected. I mean, LeBron James, obviously, he's got to have a good game. And Kevin Love, a big night of shooting as well. If Cleveland were to pull this off, give me a projected scenario.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it seems like the only way the Cavs can win a game against Golden State is for their big three to play really well. I mean, LeBron and Kyrie are a given. I mean, you got to have those guys scoring, you know, 30-plus points. But Kevin Love is a huge factor in that equation as well. And maybe another one that kind of goes unsaid, what we just talk about these Cleveland guys, I think Kevin Durant basically has to have an off night or a very bad night. They just play so well at home. I think the first quarter will be key. A lot of times you're talking about the end of game scenarios. For tonight, I think the first quarter will be very, very critical, because if Cleveland gets in any type of hole, it's hard to imagine them, you know, digging out of it on the road. A championship will be in sight for Golden State if they, you know, grab an early, you know, double-digit lead. So I think the early parts of the game will be very important. And the longer it goes, even with the home court advantage, the longer Cleveland's in the game, I think Golden State, you know, could maybe tighten up a little bit, just knowing, you know, what's at stake. And I don't know if last year creeps into their thoughts at all or not. But there's just no way. I mean, if this season or if this series goes to Cleveland Thursday night, I mean, it's just bad news all the way around for Golden State, because no, I really do not see the Cavs losing game six.
No, I don't either. We're on the same page, and I'm guessing that, you know, we're not alone when it comes to this either. Again, talking to Kyle Rowland here, Toledo Blade. You know, it's funny, I interview coaches before sporting events, and you're right on with this. Most coaches in hockey, anyways, will preach what a big factor getting off to a good start in a game is, and how important that is to get things rolling in the right direction as well. Is there any messages that either of the coaches right now would be sending to their – I mean, what can you say? You've gone through the playoffs. You've gone through a regular season. Tell me a little bit about that. Are they preaching anything? I mean, you've gone to the press conferences after. You've listened to the coaches. What do you think they're talking about anyways, and what would be different?
Yeah, I don't think either of these guys are talking about Steve Kerr to Ron Lue. I mean, they're both pretty mild-mannered coaches. It kind of seems like almost this new brand of coach in, like, the generation we're going to. There's not a whole lot of, you know, fire breathers like there were back in the days. They're just mild-mannered. They just kind of, you know, the message of, hey, like, we just got to stick to our game plan. We got, I mean, nothing, you know, no fire and brimstone speeches. So I think both locker rooms are actually be, you know, very calm beforehand and maybe calmer than, you know, what fans would envision. So I don't think there's going to be some, I don't know, overriding message from either coach. I think these players know what's at stake. They, especially the Cavs, they know what they have to do. I mean, you cannot lose another game or else the season's over. So I don't think there'll be some grand speech by Ty Lue to keep the Cavs in it.
Hey, tell me a little bit about, I'm going to segue this from the hockey game last night, if that's possible. But listen, I'm not pointing the finger at Kevin Pollock, who was the official last night, who blew down the play when he lost sight of the puck. I get that. I've seen it happen. Nobody's even talking about that if it's game 39 in December. I get it. It was one of those things. But in your eyes, the officiating in tonight's game, number one, and, you know, digressing here a little bit too, what have they allowed and what type of game have you seen called by the officials in this series that might lend to an advantage for one of the teams?
Yeah, that's a great question. First off, I mean, that call last night, just unbelievable. But secondly, I mean, I think officiating will be an interesting aspect tonight solely because game four was such an abomination. I mean, that was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen, and it was an NBA Finals game, which was not a good look for the league. So I don't know. I mean, I would think that the officiating will be called closer tonight. It seemed like the officials kind of let the game get out of control in game four. I'm sure there's going to be a message from the league office to not let that happen again. So I don't know if there'll be, you know, maybe more fouls than usual, trying to not have it so chippy and kind of get the message, from the get-go. But a less physical game, I mean, I honestly think it would kind of help Cleveland. I feel like that always helps the underdog in a way. It seems like underdogs a lot of times want to be, you know, more physical and let more things go. So I think if anything, it helps Cleveland. But at the end of the day, I don't really expect the officials to affect the outcome of this game. It's basically going to be, you know, LeBron James. I mean, if he truly brings it, and I mean, he can just put a team on his back unlike any other. And I know he did it the first three games as well, and Cleveland lost them all. But I mean, if he has one of these otherworldly efforts tonight, I think Cleveland can win the game.
No, going to be very, very interesting to watch. We'll let you go, Kyle. One more question here, and I know we touched on it the last time we talked. I was looking at the television ratings today, the previous game. They've been very, very good. And I guess it just conjures up a little bit of a question here. You know, look at the super teams, we're going to call them that, and of course the Cavs in Miami, and now Golden State, maybe the super of the super. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, for me, it's kind of lost some of the intrigue where you have these teams and had Rod Beard on, who covers the Pistons, their beat writer this week. And how do you build? You start building around defense now because nobody can stop these super teams. Listen, after this thing's over, the finals, moving forward in the NBA, what do you project? What do you see? I mean, I don't see anybody taking a run at either of these teams from the West, the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference for some time.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, this is the third straight year they've played, and I think five straight years is almost a virtual certainty. I mean, I can't imagine anyone beating the Cavs or Warriors next year in the playoffs and the year after that. I would think that, you know, LeBron would still be right at the tail end of his prime. And I mean, obviously you have Irving coming into being a great player, and then the Warriors should be intact as well. So you're looking at five or six straight years of Cavs-Warriors, which for us, I mean, living in Ohio and living in this area is really cool. But, I mean, I don't know if it's cool for the rest of the country and the rest of the league. Because, I mean, the season's almost irrelevant. Like, I mean, you just have no chance of doing anything. I mean, you basically have to root for injuries, which no one ever wants to root for injuries. But, I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. And I don't know. I mean, I kind of like the super team aspect. Certainly there's things to not like about it just because parity is basically non-existent. But it's kind of fun to just have all these great players in a series. I mean, you've got, I don't know, seven of the top 10, 15 players in this series with the Cavs and Warriors. So, I mean, it's cool to see them go at it, but at the end of the day, it'd also be maybe more fun if some of these players weren't on the team and you had, you know, six or eight teams that had a legitimate chance at the championship. So it'll be something going forward that I'm sure the NBA is going to try to break up, but they thought they had done that, and then Durant goes to the Warriors. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, a final question. Again, Kyle Rowland joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. This is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. A bench and rotation tonight for either club. What have you seen in that rotation? Kerr loves to rotate guys off the bench. You know, give me an advantage there for tonight's game.
Yeah, I mean, Golden State certainly has any advantage in that point. I mean, the Cavs bench is just not too deep. I mean, Richard Jefferson's played pretty solid this series. Korver's been hit or miss. Darren Williams was very bad until the other night. And when your team's winning by 20 points, I guess it's easy to play well. So, I mean, that's another thing Cleveland has to have. I mean, we talk about the big three needs to play well. I don't know if they can win with basically no contributions from their bench. I mean, guys like Kyle Korver and Darren Williams, you have to hit shots. I mean, Kyle Korver is paid to make three-pointers, and, you know, LeBron throws him a wide-open pass in Game 3, and he misses it. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, what value are you? I know that's kind of harsh, but, I mean, that's why the Cavs have him, to make the shot in that situation. So those guys need to step up, but Golden State definitely has the advantage there.
Well, we'll be watching and listening tonight. Pregame show here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket is at 8. Tip-off is at 9. Thanks for coming on, Kyle. As always, great insight. Appreciate your contribution.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Kyle Rowland, Toledo Blade sports writer. He's been covering the Cavs and Golden State. My name is Mike Miller. Again, Kyle joined us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Little TAS Electronics updates, both sports and weather. Traffic presented by our good friends at SuperFitnessToledo.com. June Jamboree sales event continues right here at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. A lot of great deals. How about a 2017 Jeep Patriot Latitude High Altitude, $128 a month. Updates after this. This is Drive Time.
Cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
The final seconds go off. And now the fans here salute their team with Let's Go Predators. A turnaround shot that rattled wide. Subban one more try, deflected over the net, and the Pittsburgh Penguins again are the Stanley Cup champions.
Well, that was Mike Emmerich and his partner for a lot of years, former National Hockey League goaltender Glenn Chico Resch, joins us here on Drive Time. We talked a little basketball, Cleveland and Golden State tonight going Game 5. Kyle Rowland joined us. He's been covering that series, mainly from the Cleveland side of things for the Toledo Blade. Joining us now, as I just mentioned, Glenn Chico Resch on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Hello, Glenn. How are you?
Great, Mike. Yeah, no, it was an exciting finish last night, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and I guess the first thing I have jotted down here, and first more than anything else, Chico, thanks for taking the time. You know what? If it's the 39th game of the year in mid-December and Kevin Pollock loses sight of the puck and blows the whistle, nobody's talking about it. But you know what? What a bad break, and I thought for most of the night you can either – agree or disagree with this, I thought Nashville was a better team.
Well, you know, Mike, and I think that's what will be frustrating for them, and everybody's talking about the reason they didn't win was their inability to finish those chances. Now, I know it's not easy. You got big, great goaltenders in there, and you got to just, you know, put the puck right where you want to put it or get a break like we saw last night in the game-winning goal. But, you know, unfortunately, like you said, when the referee has any bearing on the game, he hates it, and everyone else kind of feels a little tarnished or wish it hadn't happened, so it had just been a pure finish. But as we know in sports, Mike, you see it time and time again, the referees somehow are part of the game, and last night they were again.
You know what? Another observation here is Glenn Chico Rush joins us here on Drive Time ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Glenn joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. It's becoming more, listen, I don't know if I've met anybody that loves the game more than you do, and you love the people mm-hmm. that are in it, and you've been in it for a long, long time. But I got to tell you, so much of the outcome of these games, regardless of the time of the year, to me, for the amount of games I watch, and it's not as much as I used to because you got other things to do, but are decided by luck and crazy bounces. And, you know, I guess I at times hearken back to the days when you saw Bobby Hull or guys scoring off the wings and drop passes and tic-tac-toes mm-hmm. playing. Now it's just basically off somebody's leg. You mentioned big goaltenders. Boy, the game has changed. The crowds are great. Television numbers are pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. But at times, it takes a lot of luck to win a hockey game.
Well, you know, I was talking to Mike Kitchen, who was the coach of the assistant coach of the Blackhawks, won a couple cups, and we were just talking about that. Well, you take last night's goal. Now, Schultz is actually shooting the puck wide. Now, he doesn't want to shoot it wide, but he missed his shot or there was somebody in front. Hornquist is actually cutting across the crease. He's there to try and tip it, but it doesn't come to him. It goes wide, and he goes to the goal line, and it's bouncing, Mike, and he whacked at it, and then it hit the goalie's shoulder and goes in the net for the biggest goal of the playoffs. And, you know, hockey has become more than any other sport, I think, in anywhere, anytime, a game bounces, and you say you make your own bounces, but really you don't. And going back to my kitchen, I think the one thing is, Mike, you know, it's not like you talk about there's two defensemen on each team, but really, once the rush is over, there's five defensemen in the zone, and they'll interchange their positions, and they collapse down. And, you know, we're all talking, and I think it's one of the big challenges of the NHL is how they're going to take away some of the congestion in that low slot area where, like you were saying, you got to shoot the puck wide deliberately to try and hit a shit pad. And it's fun, but a lot of people are saying, you know, it's kind of getting repetition once it gets in the other team's zone where they just circle around, you know, cycle around, try to throw it here and there, but you don't really see creative plays. But the NHL has always changed, and they've always adapted, and they keep trying to make it a better game. And I think they'll try and tweak it between now and next season as well.
Glenn, I don't know if the owners are ever going to let go of those couple of seats in the front row, but, I mean, this to me, and I mean, is I think that we need a bigger Olympic size ice yeah. surface. And listen, somebody's going to figure it out how to defend that as well. But I've always thought this would be a good starting point. Hey, were you surprised at all? I guess you shouldn't be surprised. Just give me a little thumbnail sketch on Matt Murray. I saw him when he was in the Sioux, and Marc-Andre Fleury, a pro's pro. He'll be, I'm guessing, moving on. Break down the goaltending. Of course, Pecorini was great as well. What did you see from the guys between the pipes? Stopping shots that are deflected two or three times.
Well, their instincts are so good now, Mike. But, you know, I have a heart for goalies, obviously, being one for 13 years in the National League. I really felt bad for Marc-Andre Fleury until he had that kind of a clunker, and even then with some bad bounces. In Ottawa, I think he was one of the contenders for the Conn Smythe. He has that one bad game, and the coaches say, well, let's see, Matt Murray won the cup last year, ready to go, fresh, hungry. Let's give him a shot. And so as much as my heart is going out to Marc-Andre Fleury, I'm thinking, hey, this is a lot of pressure on Matt Murray. And Matt had one kind of off game in the finals, but the last two games, back-to-back shutouts, I mean, the guy has the right stuff, nerves of steel, you know, ice in his veins, all that kind of stuff. But I remember when, you know, we won the cup, we shared the goaltending that year, and it's kind of fun that both goalies had an impact in the outcome. It wasn't just one guy watching being a cheerleader. And I remember the Oilers did that as well. So, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins talk about a team effort, total team effort, and I think it's really true. And I don't know about you, let me ask you, they've won two. That's on the cusp of a dynasty. I don't think any team now can win three in a row. Maybe they can, but to me that would be monumental if they win again.
Glenn, we're on the same page. It was my next question. I just was going to mention you were part of the Islanders when they were rolling and Edmonton rolling. The Montreal Canadiens got on a roll as well. Devils maybe should have had two in a row. That shows you how tough it is, 2000 mm-hmm. and then the loss to Colorado and the Game 6 clunker at home. I think it's going to be very, very, very tough. Different era, more parity, more luck, more bounces. I don't see it happening for Pittsburgh. Crosby, to me, is... Well, you see what he can do when it's crunch time, kind of similar to what we're going to see maybe from LeBron James tonight if one guy can take mm-hmm. over like that. So I think that's a pretty good comparison. Hey, what did you ever think going into Nashville when we first did with the Devils when we were traveling together there that it would turn into a market like that?
Oh, no, Mike, and you've been there, and I hope the listeners get a chance to go to Nashville to see a game and just experience the downtown atmosphere, because it's sitting right there in the, you know, honky-tonk area and downtown, and the people just love their team. And I went an hour, my son-in-law and I went an hour away from Nashville to buy a car, and this guy was on fire for the Predators. So it's not just the immediate fans in the Nashville area, but it's spread through Tennessee, kind of like, you know, the Tennessee Titans. And no, I would have never, ever, ever guessed it. But, you know, they've got enough young guys that I wouldn't be surprised if I saw their faces in the finals again next year.
Now, like a big Ryan Ellis fan, as you know, as well. Hey, we had Pete Weber on, you know, last week, and he was talking, speaking of which, when we went in there, talking about going into Nashville and holding classes in a theater to teach people offside, icing, and the other penalties of hockey. He says, literally, we're doing this 3-4 nights a week in Nashville in a theater to teach people the rules of the game. And you look at that scene last night, man, they've had some problems with ownership as well. I give them credit. Mm-hmm. You're right. They're a team that's probably going to be back.
Well, you know, it'd be interesting, Mike, if you know all the national anthem singers. Great, great people and great entertainers. But if you had a class where you asked them any in-depth questions on hockey, they probably wouldn't get them. But that's okay, because just the whole atmosphere, and I think that's the one thing about hockey, maybe more than at least football. Baseball is pretty simple. But you don't need to know a lot of the particulars. You just need to feel the energy in the rink, and I think that's what they've created there, you know. And, you know, Jake Gensel, I'm just thinking of, like, with Pittsburgh, you could repeat, but who in their right mind would have thought that kid would carry the Penguins, this young kid out of Nebraska, carry the Penguins for a couple rounds? And you need that. You know, if you don't get that, those unsung heroes, Pittsburgh doesn't win. Because Malkin was good, and Crosby certainly won the MVP, so he was. But, I mean, he wasn't lighting it up and putting the puck in the net, setting it up, but not lighting it up. And so you've got to have those types of guys. And then, you know, the Penguins, defenses, I mean, it's okay, but it's average. And I think it gives all fans, like even Detroit. I mean, Detroit's a little bit like a lot of teams. They're a really good team, but they need that one or two game changer, somebody that can separate. And unfortunately, those guys are tough to get. And I'm thinking of New Jersey because you and I were both there, but there's not a clear decision on who is number one pick this year, the year they finally get it. That's not a good sign, because everybody tells me, it's a good draft, but the player that the Devils are going to get is not going to be necessarily a franchise player, and that's what you need to win Stanley Cups, too. You need a couple of franchise players, you know, like Pavel Datsyuk and Zetterberg and those guys, and they're hard to get.
Yeah, there's no Connor McDavid out there for the New Jersey Devils this year. Absolutely not. Hey, before I let you go, did I miss anything? And I appreciate you coming on. Maybe we'll touch base next fall. You mentioned the draft coming up. You touched on that.
Let me ask you about Washington. Let me ask quickly about Washington. They're the most intriguing team, because what do you do there? Have they reached the mountain and now they're, you know, Backstrom and Ovechkin, and they kind of have the windows closed? I just find that's going to be a fascinating story over the summer to see what happens with them.
No doubt about it. I love Barry Trotz as a coach, too, but you wonder mm-hmm. what they're going to do there. Speaking of coaches, the guy that signs my check in Windsor got the Florida Panthers coaching job today. Owner of the Windsor Spitfires, Bob Bugner, now behind the bench as the head coach of the Florida Panthers.
Well, I heard you were on his reference sheet, you know, when you have to, you know, talk about people who really can sell you. Mike Miller was on his sheet. I think that was a game changer.
I talked to Dale Talon twice, and I called him usually 2, 3 in the morning. He really appreciated that. Well, tell Diane I said hello. Thanks for contributing as always. Glenn, I appreciate it. First guy I thought of last night when I was watching the game. Who are we going to get on tomorrow to kind of sum this thing up? I appreciate you coming on. Enjoy the rest of your summer. Best of health to you, and thanks.
Same to you and all your listeners, Mike. We'll see you in a few short months. Take care, buddy.
Glenn Chico Rush, former goaltender in the National Hockey League, as he mentioned, 13 years, television analyst as well. Penguins, 2 straight. I don't see 3 happening. Again, the days of Edmonton and the Islanders and the Montreal Canadiens dominating for a half a decade, I think, are over. But I really think, and Glenn touched on it as well, wow. I mean, the atmosphere, the ability of the athletes are just phenomenal. I mean, I remember this game. Everybody was 5'11", 175 pounds. Now they're 6'3", 225, and they're faster, and they're bigger, and they're stronger. But a lot of luck in the game now to win a championship, when to get bounces and to play the game differently. It's a different game. So I don't know if it's a change for the good, but can't tell the people in Nashville that. All right, everybody. Again, Glenn Chico Rush joined us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. How about that? 2016 Pizza Palooza Award winner. That's the Tony Paco's Pizza. My favorite. Visit Vito's.com. Back with more after this to close it out. All right, everybody, welcome back. Glad to have you on board. This is Drive Time, again, driven by the low payment to King Ralph Mahalik. As I mentioned, Ralph Mahalik Sr. passing away last week. So started this dealership some 50 years ago. So I saw a lot of folks going to the showroom here tonight. Celebration of life for Ralph Earl Mahalik. Started, again, this dealership. Same year, by the way, that they played Super Bowl I for a sports talk show. Tomorrow, right back here at the Superstore. Wednesday night, by the way, that'll be our last face-off of the season. 2-hour show from, again, Savannah Tamashanner, the Loft Restaurant. That'll be from 5 to 7 on Wednesday night. Thursday night, right back here at the Superstore. Then Friday, we'll be up at Michigan International Speedway. Of course, on Sunday, the NASCAR boys will be running. ARCA runs on Friday. Xfinity running on Saturday as well. So that's the schedule for the week. As summer has definitely hit in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan. I'm loving every moment of it right here. Back home in the pool sometime tonight, no doubt about that. Cranked the filter on when I left, and who knows, maybe a little barbecuing tonight outside. Good stuff. Hanging around with the dogs a little bit, and probably have my grandson over and get him a little bit cooled down as well. So that's the plan for tonight. The plan here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Jim, one more time, basketball tonight. Anything else the rest of the week that you want to touch on, and congratulations to Bill Clark for his baseball show as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, game 5 tonight, 8 o'clock the coverage time, 9 o'clock the tip-off time here on The Ticket. If there is a game 6 back in Cleveland, that would be Thursday night, same times, 8 for the pregame time. And then, of course, we have Bill Clark's extra innings baseball show. Obviously, no show tonight with the NBA game, but Tuesday and Wednesday, and if there's no game, he'll be on Thursday as well. And then coming up over the weekend, and because we're obviously done with NHL coverage, and thanks so much again to our good buddies at Westwood One for being able to, I think this is the first season they did that, providing a whole bunch of Stanley Cup playoff and all the finals coverage. So I was happy to pick that up for everybody here in Toledo. And then coming up over the weekend, they announced the matchups. It's Boston and Houston from Houston, Major League Baseball, Saturday and Sunday, 7 o'clock the start times for both of that. And if there is a miracle game 7...